How's it going? Thank you for checking in, and once again, welcome to the program. How to deal with failure. It's critical as an actor, and Bay Area actor Solana Paz offers her thoughts on how to put yourself out there, really leave yourself vulnerable as a performer, not get the role, and continue to come back for more. Also, why doesn't she watch Game of Thrones, and why does she want to beat me up so badly? All of that and more as we welcome back Solana Paz. Solana.
Yes.
Now, before we talk about this new project you've been working on, I want to crack down on you, because last week I asked you, I wanted to do a podcast with you on Game of Thrones. How can you be like the one actor that's not watching that?
Well, I'm spending a lot of time watching shows that I can get cast in. And there's a lot of those. And Game of Thrones is not one of the ones that I see myself in. Quite frankly, there's so much to watch that I realize there's a lot that I'm leaving behind. And that's a fabulous one. That just hasn't made it to my list.
What are your go-to shows then that you do watch?
Well, some that I enjoy. Well, I watch so many. Yeah, a lot of medical ones, from The Good Doctor to The Resident. Yeah, a lot of law ones, or FBI. A lot of those espionage ones. Because those are roles that I can certainly get cast in, as my marketing coach tells me every time.
I've been in class with you, so you've done a lot of that detective, grilling the suspect type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. When I work with one of my acting coaches, he always puts me in those types of scenes too. So clearly that's my niche.
Okay.
So I spend my time on those shows.
Okay. And once again, to refresh our audience or the folks that didn't get on us the first time around, you're the elegant raven-haired Argentinian beauty with the warrior spirit. So welcome
That's
aboard.
Right.
Hey, what did you tell me about that philosophical thriller that you were involved in recently?
Well, it's a fabulous short film that Chris Price, who's also fabulous, is producing. He wrote it and directed it. He's directing it himself. He's also a great actor, though he's not acting in this one. We loosely. He started working on it, and I had some kind of participation about a year ago now. We've been wanting to work together for a while, and this is the project that we're working together for the first time. And it's been a great experience so far. Like you said, it's a psychological thriller. This character that I'm playing, she's the lead, and strange things are going on in her mind. She's having these dreams that are really vivid, visions kind of thing, and it's this thing that she's worried about losing her mind, while at the same time everything feels so real that she doesn't think that she's losing her mind. So I don't want to give any spoilers, but that's kind of what's happening. It's a moment in this person's life that we get to look into and wonder what's going on.
Who else is involved in this project as actors?
So I am working for the first time with Atessa McLennan Morel. Yeah, she's a great actress from the East Bay. She's done a lot of theater. So whoever follows theater, you may have seen her there. Kevin Burns also. And then I'm very happy to be working with Jonathan Ritter and Dennis Van Hagen, who are two actors who I think very highly of. Jonathan is also a film director and producer himself, a writer. So I'm working with a fantastic cast, and Brian Bradley as the DP. It's a great, super professional team behind this.
Is it done, or are you still working on it?
We're still working on it. We had 2 days of shooting, and we have possibly two more.
Okay. Hey, last time we connected, we were talking about an upcoming project called The Crumbs.
Oh, yeah.
And you had the role of a hiker, but that changed. So how did that go down, the switch to the character, and how did that project work out for you?
That was a great project. I was very happy to work with director David Espinosa on that one, and my co-actor, Piero Melotti. And what happened was they were casting. I saw that they were casting for a Hispanic woman that was in the script. And I saw this, and of course, Hispanic, I would want to jump right on it. Which, by the way, sidetracking, I get to speak in Spanish in Identity Crisis, the film we were just talking about. The film opens with me having a Spanish conversation with my husband, who is the same guy who played my husband in The Crumbs.
Okay.
Nice little bit of information there. So back to The Crumbs. So I saw they were casting for a Hispanic woman. So I sent a message to the director, and I tell him that I saw this, and if he wants to recast me for that, I'd be more than happy to switch roles, even though I had spent some time working on the hiker character. And eventually he sends me a message back saying, yeah, you know, can I hear you speaking Spanish? So I did, basically. I said, okay, done, the role is yours. And it was a fascinating experience because I have, as I mentioned, my husband, my movie husband, and I had never met him before. And we have to act like we're newlyweds and we're super excited. So I show up early and I asked him if he could show up early as well, and he did. So for 2 hours, we were just getting to know each other. And fortunately, we got along great. Piero is a fabulous guy to work with. And he's from Colombia, and one of my best friends is from Colombia, and I love people from Colombia, so it was awesome. And of course, we started shooting late, so we had probably like 4 hours to get acquainted with each other, and we established a great relationship. And by the time we started shooting the film, we were, of course, professional actors too, completely, like, people could not believe that we had just met. We're acting like husband and wife, newlyweds. We had this connection going on. It was a great experience.
Okay, so you got your stage husband. Who else was in that cast that made an impression on you?
I had the fabulous opportunity to work with Maria Olsen as Irene Crumb and Jeff Hatch as Dr. Benjamin Crumb, and Chelsea, I'm not sure I'm going to say her last name, right? Drukiewicz or something like that. But Chelsea, she's a fabulous person and a great actress. And then Anton Clark was also there. But the most amazing thing was that, again, being a horror thriller film, Maria was so scary all the time. She would give me these stares that I really didn't have to act scared, because she was giving me so much to work with. And the same with Chelsea. And this is when you know that you're working with good actors, because even when the camera is over their shoulder, they were still giving me so much so I could just put it on my character. Then Jeff was, in another one of the scenes, he was saying this horrible, he's the nicest guy, we got along great on set. And he was saying these horrible things as the character. So it was a great experience to work with these people that are so different in real life than they were while we were shooting.
People outside the acting realm, they'll say about, you know, memorizing lines. Oh, he knows his lines. But you mentioned something where you can just pick up on the eyes, and you're just reading off the eyes and the facial expressions. And that's where all the acting and the performance comes from. It's not memorizing a bunch of words.
No, exactly. And the times that I went into an audition or a shoot focusing too much on the words, that was some of my worst work. Now I know that I need to focus on building my character first, and then just trust that I'm gonna get fed while I'm there. And yes, you have to know your lines, because once they become second nature, you don't need to worry about those. But however they're going to come out, it's somewhat out of your control if you let yourself go and just be present with the situation that's being created magically there for you.
That's kind of the new realm of acting, right? Where it's not memorize your words, but hey, what is the story? What's happening here? Now you just go ahead and tell it. Maybe the words are a little bit different, but you're still telling the story.
Exactly. And most people that I've worked with don't care about that. If you change a word here and there, you can ask again, Chris, on this last movie, the part in Spanish, sometimes words, it was a very emotional scene. And some of the words didn't come the same every time. So, yeah, he knows this. We may need to change a little bit the subtitles.
Do you have to have the same, though, when you're shooting it multiple times, different angles? I know we're talking about going off script or off book, but if you're shooting it four or five times in different angles, you're piecing it together. I mean, you do have to be pretty accurate.
Somewhat consistent. Yes, I think it's more important to be consistent with your physicality for the different angles, because they may not see your face if you're they're shooting from a different angle, so you can see it differently and it just works. But the physicality always has to be the same, because when you change angles and for the it would make the editing impossible if you raised your arm the first time but not the second time. I think that's even more important. I do try to keep the words consistent.
What if you'd met your on-set husband and you talk for a couple hours and there is no chemistry? You think he's a D-bag. Now, you'd have to really go deep into your acting chops, right? Then you go on and...
Exactly. You have to imagine everything else, I guess. You know, when the other actor just isn't giving you much, it's just more work on you.
Have you had that before where, you know, you talk to them offset and
there's
nothing there and you've got to go fake it?
Absolutely. I've been through that. And it's not nearly as fun. I mean, you still do it. You can do it. But it's not nearly as fun.
Any real relationships like that?
Real relationships is the same one.
Like in real life that are offset where there isn't really any chemistry there, but you've got to act like there is.
For the most part, I don't engage in those relationships. I know very few people that I really couldn't care less about. I just step away. I have no energy in my brain for that.
Well, I'm glad you always keep coming back to me then. It's real.
Of course. You're one of my favorite people.
Bless your heart. Reading Jenna Fischer's book, and it's an actor survival guide, and it really talks about the whole prospect of auditioning. You know, right now you're starting to be on a little bit of a roll for yourself and you're getting some work and you're getting some gigs, but it talked about auditioning, that the focus should not be on the work, but quote, rather than the results. Your job is to go in time and time again and produce a consistent body of work. Never mind about getting the part. Focus on the quality of our auditions.
Yeah. So auditioning and acting, getting the gig, are two different jobs. Very different jobs. When you go to an audition, your job is to kill it at the audition, period. It's not to get the job. Because you may or may not get the job, and that could be completely unrelated to what you did in the audition. So when I go to the auditions, I am just going for that, for the audition. It's an experience. I love it. I audition for three main reasons. One is for networking and meeting people. The other one is to practice. And the other one is because it's an opportunity to act for a few moments they wouldn't want to waste. So if I accomplish those three things, I'm good. And I always show up well prepared. So for the most part, I feel good when I leave an audition. I'm not quite nervous walking in. I leave a lot up to the universe. And I just go open-minded and with my body, asking my body to be there with me, and with a mindset ready to take whatever comes on. I work with coaches specifically on that. So I walk into an audition, I have a great time. I have a great time. There were a couple of times, of course, when I left the audition knowing that I completely flawed it. Like, I went in thinking it was a comedy once and it wasn't, kind of thing. But you never know. Once I had to dance in an audition, and I was working with this actor who was not a great dancer, and I tripped and I kind of fell on the floor. I left it off, whatever, and I left there thinking they're never going to hire me for this one. And I ended up getting hired. Who knows? So again, auditioning and the acting job on whatever project it is are completely different jobs.
Have you always had that philosophy, or did it take you a while to acquire that those calluses on your fingers, you know, to kind of develop that thick skin?
I think you develop it, because I feel like it's getting better and more comfortable every time. So I think it's a continuous work in progress.
Was your attitude always that way, to go audition, not get the gig, and say, well, I'm just learning and I'm growing and I'm networking?
Pretty much, yeah. I was never one to take the rejection personally. I don't know why, but I also was the one who I wasn't acting full time and I was interviewing for just, I always loved the process of interviewing, which most people don't. So I like auditioning. To me, auditions are fun. I don't get very nervous. I get more nervous if I know who I'm going to be auditioning for. And it's somebody who I know is super good. Then I'm a little bit more nervous because the bar is set higher for me. But once they say go, then for the most part, you know, once it's like when you're on stage, once the show starts, adrenaline kicks in and you just do your thing. And in that sense, I have always been pretty much like that.
Jenna says that her goal was to get 50 no's before you get the one yes.
I've heard that before. I've heard that until you people know you, well, I heard 40. But you know, about the same. Yeah, you'll get 40 no's before you get a yes. And it has probably been the same for me like that, especially with commercial work. I feel like commercial work for me is, well, I have been on a strike lately, but it has been until probably last year harder for me to book commercial work than film work.
That 40 no's to one yes, it kind of reminds me of my younger dating life.
Oh my gosh, David, I don't believe that for a second.
I didn't keep, you know, the exact numbers. I'm just kind of estimating, you know, the 40 no's to the one yes, but it's around there.
Oh no.
Solana, what do you hope to eventually do? I know we're talking about, you know, the detective roles and those kind of crime things and medical things, but I know you've got kind of a soft spot for comedy in your heart too. And that is something I'm sure that you'd like to have that itch scratched.
Absolutely. Comedy is my thing. It's just, if I could be doing something every day, it would be making people laugh. At me, with me, I don't care. I just like to make people laugh, to make people happy, bring emotions and laughter. It just brings so much and your whole body changes when you laugh. And if I can produce that in people, I'm set.
I know in classes that we'll talk about developing characters and getting you know, roles down in lines, but I think comedy, it's a little bit different. I think there's kind of a, you either have it or you don't. I know you can get better at everything, but I think there's a certain element of you've got it to be able to do
it. Yes, I agree. So you have to have it in you. And basically, to me, is that if you're okay with making a fool out of yourself, you're fine. You're in a better place. Comedy is very technical and very tactical, and there's a lot of stuff to comedy that you just have to follow to make things funnier. And I've been in many workshops where we go over some of these things, and with the same technical considerations in mind, we'll all go and perform, and you can tell that some people have it in them and some people just don't. And it's kind of painful to watch sometimes, but you know, I guess that if you don't have it in you, it just takes more practice and dedication. Fortunately, I have a, well, you hopefully know that I have some comedic chops in my personality. So that comes through.
So who are your acting role models when it comes to comedy?
Well, I love Tina Fey. Like if I could be Latina Fey, I would be so happy. I love, for instance, characters like Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Veep. I like that type of comedy.
Smart comedy, yeah.
Yeah.
So not goofy Jim Carrey lighting farts on fire kind of stuff.
No, I mean, I don't mind working on that. I can do it. I am a very physical person. I can be very physical. I know I can make people laugh like that, and I have done it. But for me to watch, I prefer to watch the other type.
Now, living in San Francisco with most of the big-time work in L.A., how do you navigate that? And do you ever toy with the idea of, hey, I got to go down there and make it happen? I can't do it from up here. Or can you?
Yeah, I think that when you're living far from L.A. can be more challenging, but I refuse to use that as an excuse. All the times that I had to go to LA, which were quite a lot, I flew out. My father-in-law lives there and he drives me around. We have a great time hanging out every time I'm there. I have friends there too. Yeah, it's my second home, LA. My husband's family is from there. So I don't want to put distance as an excuse or a reason to not accomplish what I want. I'm sure that it is more challenging because you cannot network as much as I do in San Francisco. Being here, I can attend networking events, meet with people often and constantly. Not being there, that network, the connections part can be a little bit more challenging. But aside of that, getting there to me is no problem every time I have to get there, you know.
Refresh my memory on the conversation you had with your family, because you've got children. You're not 22 with no bills and can just do whatever you want. But to jump out of the professional world and say, hey, family, I'm an actor now. Hop on board.
Oh, they are very much on board. Very much so. Like, for instance, we had a trip planned out to the beach down south for my birthday. They gave me that as my birthday gift. And turns out that weekend, there's also a very important workshop that I would be interested in attending. And I'm considering, we are all considering moving our family trip so I can take this workshop. They are fabulous like that. And my kids have both been into acting. Now my son still is. He's quite a performer himself. So they get it. They know the thrill. It is a family business, let me tell you.
What about your husband, Sean, and his dealing with that?
He's very supportive. Very much so. I always think that when I get my Academy Award, the first person I need to thank is him.
Yeah, you can't do it by yourself.
No.
In fact, one of the great things I've read recently is that so many folks, they want to become an actor and they start memorizing monologues and just watching TV in their own little world. But you need to be around a group of people, other creative folks, to kind of feed off their energy and also inspire each other. You have to take you to the
Absolutely.
Next level.
Absolutely. Yes. And even like I realized that not just that, it's a whole package, right? And it takes a village, because it's your acting classmates, your friends, actors and non-actors, your family. It's every coach that you work with, whether it's for acting and the different types of acting or things you need to work on your craft, voice, singing, dancing, whatever it is that you do. It's the whole package. You need all that to become a more rounded person too, not just an actor. And the better rounded you are as a person, of course, that will reflect into your acting.
So Solana, one last thing. What is this obsession you have with being in some kind of scene, movie, TV show with me, and I'm getting my ass kicked by you? Why is that?
Well, first, you're a big muscular dude, right? Second, you post all these things with you hanging from bars, with weights hanging from you. So if I think about it, in real life, I have no chance of kicking your ass physically. So
that's
part of
true.
The actress fantasy. Okay, thank you for the confidence, though. So, as you know, the actor's job is to fantasize about these non-real life situations, and kicking your ass would be a non-real life situation to me, and I'm so looking forward. I would love to experience that.
Boy, if there was a way of making your fantasy become a reality, I'd love to help you with that. I mean, I'd be willing to take the shots in the groin, you know, for you.
I'm so sure you would, and you will take them.
Have you ever punched someone on screen or done that in real life?
Not off screen. I have never punched anyone in real life. On screen, yes, I have. And I have some basic training in a mix of martial arts and weapons and swords. So we have shot quite a few videos, punching videos of each other and throwing us on the ground and tackling us and that kind of fun stuff.
Would this ass kicking be like me grabbing you from like around your neck from behind, and you could spin and, you know, take me out?
Totally. I can roll you over my shoulder and throw you on the ground and then step on you or punch you on the face or something.
That sounds so hot. I always wanted to go out with a girl that could kill me with her bare hands. That's so hot.
Yes, we'll go out on a movie set and I'll do it. Let's find somebody who wants to shoot this.
Hey, we kind of kidded about that before. Like, you really want to choreograph, even if we just did that alone, right? Just some, fight scene where you and I meet in an alley and we choreograph that, and it's just me getting my ass kicked just for your demo reel.
The thing is that whoever choreographed, it's not just about the fighting, it's also about how you shoot it, because there are very strategic angles to shoot the punches so they look like real punches. And we want to have somebody who knows how to do this working with us, because okay. It's a lot more powerful when you shoot it that way.
Well, I'm glad that you're in it for the artistic value, not just, oh, I want to beat him up.
Oh, no, of course. You're the perfect excuse, but I really want to have fighting scenes, more fighting scenes in my reel.
I have to find it for you, but there was a little small indie that I was in probably 7 or 8 years ago, and the woman burst the door down. I was on the other side of the door, and she did kick my ass. And
for real?
Yeah, for real. I mean, make it real. So she punched me, kicked me. I was on the ground, kicked me again. And we shot that about 5 or 6 times. And so she's always, I still have her on Facebook. So every now and then, whether it's my birthday or her, she kind of reminds me of, it'd be great to kick your ass again.
See, this is why I think it's important to work with somebody to choreograph the fight, and for somebody to work with somebody who knows how to shoot these type of scenes. Because I really don't want to hurt you, David.
You know what, Solana, in all seriousness, I think that does make a good demo. I mean, if you had a reel that's got you, serious actor, and you're grilling that suspect, and then you've got the chubacabra, that silly stuff, right? And then you've got ass kicking on top. I mean, you're showing like a full range, in a minute and a half. If you have everything like that. Like this woman could do anything.
Yes, I need some good quality footage of ass kicking physically someone. You, for instance.
You didn't come up with any other name. But I have seen you in a social setting, and you mentioned being able to make a fool of yourself. So that brings us to karaoke. And
yes, bring it up.
So what is your go-to karaoke song that you'll break out, whether you think it's good or bad?
Killing Me Softly.
Oh.
But it depends on the time of the party, because if everything is upbeat, then you can't sing that one. Or as you probably could tell, for my birthday party where you were there, there was a lot of Spanish singing.
Yes.
So there were a bunch of Spanish songs that I can go to.
No, I could easily see you just crushing that Roberta Flack ballad and making it your own.
Especially if I'm wearing an outfit to go with it, right?
Oh, what a party. What a night.
That was fun. Thank you for being there, by the way.
Oh, my pleasure. Solana,
you made it better.
I'm super proud of you. And be sure that you have me back, yes?
Of course.
Oh.
You're coming back, which I can't say the same for everyone, but yes, you are.
Can, after we talk about the podcast, discuss who's not coming back and kind of weed out the riffraff?
I'll tell you, but I won't say it in the air.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Much love for you, young lady.
Thank you.
We can't mention names right now, but you don't want the person invited to your karaoke party that turns off the song just because they don't like it? Not naming names this time. Thank you, Solana. And you can follow Solana Paz on Twitter at SolanaPaz actor. The executive producer of the podcast is Hunter Lewis. Please subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. And your positive feedback and comments certainly make a difference. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.